this parable comes right on the edge of looking at the parable of the sower, the parable of the weeds, mustard seeds. In other words, Jesus is out supposedly in a field where there's farming done. So it's very natural to look at this parable, and you can think that maybe this happened to the same man. Maybe the same person that's been sowing the seed and pulling up weeds or thinking about the weeds is now plowing. And I can see this old man as he's plowing the field, hit something. Can you see him as he hits it and he's thinking it's a clog or a rock? But it's not. It's a treasure chest. Now, what would a treasure chest be doing out in the field? Well, you know, there's a lot of people who don't trust banks. You know, banks failed all the time. Back in the old days, sometimes bankers, weren't to be trusted with your money, so they just dug a hole, put it in a field. Or maybe an invading army was coming through, and the people that had money and wealth simply put it all in a box and hid it somewhere. And then in time, it got lost. It's happened many times. So as this farmer's out there, unexpectedly, he sees this great hidden treasure. And his eyes, sort of like that man, just sort of takes note that this treasure is worth, well, it's worth everything I've got. I have got to have it. And so he looks over his shoulder to see if anybody's looking, and then buries it back in the ground, and then goes like this man and counts everything he has out. Now, the first thing that we want to notice here is this treasure is hidden. And Jesus isn't talking about this literal treasure, but he's talking about the value of his kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like this. And I want to relate a couple of verses in the Bible to this, because the kingdom is going to be made known to disciples who are going to love it. Let's look at the first verse in Revelation 2, verse 17, where Jesus says, "To the one who overcomes, I will give to him hidden manna." Hidden manna. So someday that nourishment that God is going to give us, that will sustain our souls, hidden now, but revealed later on. Also, let's look at Colossians 3, verse 4 and 9. By the way, fellas, this monitor is not working down here, so check that out. It's not looking like it is up there. "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." Did you notice that? Your life is hidden right now in God. Now, how does that make you feel? Hidden life. But someday, the glory shall be made known. Does that sound good? We talk of heaven. Does it sound glorious to you? Something worthwhile? Being nurtured by God, being sustained by God, being able to share all that God has prepared for his people? Now, that's not just preacher talk, is it? Or church talk, is it? Does that sound to you like something that you can believe, that you could want? Is it really worth everything you've got? Well, that's what this parable's talking about. If you can believe that God really has something wonderful for you in this gospel, in this kingdom, then you got to go for it, haven't you? You got to say, man, this is my opportunity to get in this. People looking for the kingdom, wanting the kingdom. You're wanting the kingdom. And so you've got to go for it. You've got to count the cost. How much is it worth? Well, I've got a friend I play racquetball with. And I told him I was going to use this illustration this morning. He plays contests all the time. He's always winning $25 card at Radio Shack or $50 gift certificate. But here recently, he won a contest about golf. And he's being treated to a golf a tournament in which he's got free tickets. He's got accommodations at a 5-star hotel. He's got his trip paid for, and he gets private golf lessons with I've got to read her name here, Emily Bastille. I don't know if you know her, professional golfer. And you know, that wouldn't be much to me because I'm not a golfer. He's not a golfer either, but he's really excited about it. And I suppose if I'd won the contest, I'd be getting excited or something, learn golf or something. But how much would that be worth? Well, he's talking about it. He's excited about it. I don't know what kind of contest you've won or something, but what I want you to sense is that maybe there's some things in life that are valuable, but they may not be worth everything we've got, right? Now, the gospel, Jesus says, is worth everything. His kingdom is worth everything to you. Can you believe that? And if it's true, if all of God's blessing can be showered upon us, then we need to treat it with such glory as a treasure that's hidden, or an exquisite pearl that is beyond value or price. Sometimes we treat the gospel as if it were, maybe a rattlesnake. What do I mean by that? It's got to be handled carefully. And if we handle the gospel carefully, we won't get bit. If we just say the right words and are very careful about it, it won't endanger us or somebody else. And it might even save you from hell. I don't know about you, but I don't think too many people are impressed by that. Or if you believe you want to be saved from hell, you might be motivated for a while, but it certainly isn't something you look at as a great pearl, right? Or it might be looked at as a bomb that's going to go off someday. And so if you hold it too long, it's going to blow you up. So you got to get rid of it. Does that impress you? Well, if the gospel are those things, then I think perhaps we have a reluctance to share it. Or maybe we have a vision that is so skewed that we think, well, okay, I might take it on for a while, but as soon as nobody's looking or we don't have any friends around us, we're going to dump it, we're going to get rid of it. Well, I'm suggesting to you that the gospel is exquisite. The second parable is about this guy that actually sought out pearls. And when he found the most exquisite pearl he's ever found, it was worth everything that he had. Just imagine him going out and hawking everything, selling everything, in order to be able to purchase this. How many times have you heard the lesson that Jesus taught about seeking first his kingdom? Putting the kingdom and his righteousness first. I don't know, is that you? Do you seek the kingdom first? Is it worth everything to you? Well, I think there's some times in life that we've acknowledged that maybe the kingdom was of value, but it wasn't worth everything. And maybe in time we begin to see that we didn't value it enough. And then in time we got a little closer and a little closer, and then we begin to love the kingdom a little bit more. Maybe this is the interpretation that Jesus gives, but I would like to give you another interpretation that I think will really sizzles. And that is Jesus looking at this field. In verse 37 says, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. Now, if this is true, if Jesus is the sower, if Jesus is the merchant man looking for the pearl, then who, and the field is the world, then who is the treasure? The treasure is you. Now, if that's true, Jesus has found a treasure here upon this earth as he goes here upon this world. If that's true, this means that God so loved the world that God is the person that's found the treasure. That God says, I find in humanity people that are so loved that I want to forgive them and that I will forgive them, and I'm willing to give all for them. I don't know, sometimes you may not feel like you're worth very much. You feel like you're broken. You feel like you're not worthy of the gospel. You ever feel that way? Do you hear people talk that way? Surely God couldn't care for me that much. How much do you think God could care for you? Just a little bit, like one of those contests? What I want you to see here is if Jesus is the one plowing that field, you are the treasure. You are the pearl. No matter how many mistakes you've made, no matter how many sins you've committed, no matter how broken you feel, the Bible says you will never be able to say, God's kingdom means everything to me, until you can believe in your heart that you mean everything to God. Now, isn't that a beautiful thought? You're the treasure. God wants you. And the Bible tells us over and over that Jesus Christ died for our sins. God held back nothing to be able to save you. You are the treasure. Now, when we sing an invitation hymn, how do you feel? Do you feel valued? Do you feel loved? Do you feel forgiven through Jesus Christ? You see, because I think Jesus Christ isn't just telling us a message here that he's giving us some of the things, that he's holding back some of it. He's saying the kingdom is all yours. And someday you will know how fully the kingdom is a blessing for you. But today, it's enough for you to know that he died for you, that you are loved, that you are forgiven. So when we sing that invitation today, can you feel the love of God? Can you feel that he wants to wrap his arms around you? Do you need to respond to God's invitation? You are the treasure. You're the pearl. Would you be found through Jesus Christ? Let's stand and sing.